Jay. Okay, so let me just review quickly what we did on Thursday. So basically what we had here is we start off the Rechama's idea. Rechama holds that the Torah wanted to set up on Rosh Hashanah, the Kiyum of Shofar takes place through two different methods. Okay, one on when it's on Shabbos and one when it's on Chol, during the week. And one method is, and we said that one method is that since the essence of Shofar is the idea, is the knowledge, the ideas which the Shofar brings to mind, so the mitzvah takes place through some years through blowing the shofar, which moves the person towards the knowledge, and sometimes it's through the ideas themselves, through reading the psukim. Okay, on Shabbos it's set it up through the involvement in the ideas themselves. And during the week it's set it up through the blowing of the shofar, through the ma'aseh tekiyah, which moves the person towards the ideas. But there are two forms of bringing about the kiyum of yediyah in shofar. Okay. Got disconnected again. I'll see if you call me. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Okay, yeah, we got you back, Yana.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. Yeah, okay, so two methods. So now, the thing is that the question of Rabba was that it's very nice to say the Torah wanted to set up two forms. Okay, two forms of the mitzvah. But you can't just set up two forms of the mitzvah, one on Shabbos and one on Chol, just like you couldn't set it up. On Tuesdays it will be like this, and on Wednesdays it will be like that. There's no such thing as Rosh Hashanah of Wednesday. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah, it's all the same day. And there's no such thing as, if you tell me that the Tekiah Shofar is not Malacha, then basically it's like, then there's nothing to do with Shabbos or Chol. So walking down the street, there's no walking down the street of Shabbos or walking down the street of Chol. It just a regular activity. It just happens to be on Shabbos, but it doesn't in any way relate to Shabbos. So even if you want to make a split system, and sometimes you want to have it through blowing, and sometimes you want to have it through psukim, you can't, just like you can't say on Tuesdays it will be through psukim, you can't say on Shabbos will be through psukim. Unless blowing shofar on Shabbos was a malacha, then you could say, well, since it's a malacha, the Torah is splitting them apart. And saying is the Torah is not going to allow you to do the malacha, and on Shabbos it's going to give you an alternate form. Don't do it through malacha, but do it through the speech, through the ideas themselves. That if it were malacha, you could have said that. But Rava's thing is it's not malacha. Bottom line is it's not malacha. And since it's not malacha, it's just a chachma, which means it's a skill, but it's not malacha. The Torah is it's not prohibited to blow shofar on Shabbos in general. So therefore, it's arbitrary to distinguish between Rosh Hashanah, which happens to be on Shabbos, which happens to be during the week. You can't halachically, even if you had a philosophical reason why you wanted to do it, halachically you can't, because there's no such thing as a shofar of Shabbos. It's a shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, shofar, no matter what day of the week it is. You can't differentiate halachically. Not why. There's no problem with the why. Rava understands the why. He understands it. He can say, well, it's a good philosophy reason why you want to split up these two forms, and Shabbos is a day of ideas, and those are all very nice. But bottom line is, halachically, it's the Tekiah Shofar of Rosh Hashanah is through blowing, and it's one mitzvah, and unless you could show me that there's two different Rosh Hashanahs, or that somehow Tekiah Shofar in some way impacts the Yom HaShabbos, or has something to do with Shabbos, so you couldn't make a split like that. So we explain to answer. We said that, so the question is to answer for Rabbi Chama, how he held, we said that you have to understand what is, what the Gemara says, that shofar is not asar on Shabbos, because it's not malacha, but it's chachma. We said, what's the whole idea? So we said, it obviously doesn't mean that it has zero at all in the first place to do with malacha, otherwise you don't have to exclude it. So it must be it has something to do with malacha, at least as a havmin, I would have thought it's asar on Shabbos. And so because malacha involves two things. It involves, first of all, you're manipulating the laws of nature. You're using your chachma to manipulate the laws of nature to your benefit. And secondly, that manipulation brings about a product. You're creating something. There's an object which you're bringing about. So malacha is the combination of those two things. You're using the force of nature to bring about a product. And chachma is a skill, is where you only have the first element, where you're manipulating the laws of nature, but there's no chachma, there's no product. So it would be like making music. Music isn't a chatzah, there's no product. It's just, you're manipulating the force of nature to make a nice sound. or by Yedias HaPas. He just is working out the heat properties of bread in order to separate it off from the oven. But you're not making bread, the bread's already bread. So just it's a skill of properly, properly dealing with the force of nature to bring it, to get what you want. But there's no product. So the question is that, you may have thought that that's also prohibited on Shabbos. Torah prohibited any involvement in Chachma, any idea of Chachma, which is manipulating the laws of nature with Chachma. So Kamash Malah, no, Torah didn't do that. Torah never did that. But the question is, so now what? Does that mean that really that is a element of Malacha? Malacha really has halakhically two elements. It's just that if you only have one of the two elements, the Torah never prohibited it. But it is a component of Malacha. It is halakhically recognized component of Malacha. It's just that the Torah didn't prohibit it. Or do you say no, that it's simply that you would have thought that's Malacha, but really Malacha is not. Malacha is really just productivity. That's what Malacha really is, productivity. And it's true, it's productivity through a certain form. But if you just have the Chachma without the Malacha, that's not Malacha. That's the exclusion is not just saying it partakes of Malacha, but the Torah didn't answer it, but it's saying is that it's not Malacha. So basically it's like nothing. It's like any other activity that you're doing any day during the week. So he said, if you say that the Torah, that it's nothing, that Chachma alone is simply zero, it's not in any way Malacha is really productivity, so then you couldn't single that out, a Shabbos or a Chol. Blowing shofar during the week is the same thing as blowing shofar any other day. On Shabbos is like any other day. But if you say that really it is a component of Malacha, it's a component of Malacha, just that when you have only that component of Malacha, the Torah didn't prohibit it on Shabbos, but then it is recognized, you're blowing the shofar on Shabbos is a recognized activity in terms of Shabbos, and you could say that the Torah could say, don't do that activity on a Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, rather, will do the form of the kiyum of shofar through the word of the idea itself, through the reading of the psukim, because again, since that will be a tekiya which is against a component of malacha, it shows it's not prohibited. But the Torah is saying is don't do the chachma, don't do the malacha, the chachma on Shabbos. Rather, do it through speech. So that's not why the Torah would do it. The Torah is doing it because of whatever reason the Torah wants to do it. But it could halachically pull it off if there is a recognition of blowing shofar on Shabbos, which is the case according to Rabbi Chama, because he holds that that's really a chalik of malacha. I'm saying no one's holding it's actually also to blow shofar on Shabbos, on a regular Shabbos, for instance, because it's only Chachma. And the Torah didn't prohibit, on a regular, plain old Shabbos, the Torah didn't prohibit blowing shofar on Shabbos, because it doesn't have the component of Malacha, there's no product. And the only thing is that Rabbi Chama is saying is that on this Shabbos, on the Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah, not that it's Asar, but it's a phenomenon, there is such a thing as a shofar of Shabbos, and the Torah said, don't fulfill the mitzvah of the shofar through the blowing of the shofar, through the chachma, which is through that component of malacha, rather fulfill the mitzvah through the words, the psukim themselves. No. So that's the thing, is that I'm saying there's two definitions. Chachma is a word which could have different meanings. But the meaning of it here is that it's a chachma in the world, which means is that you're using your mind to manipulate the forces of nature to your benefit. It's not a chachma of like ideas, it's purely the involved in the world of theory. But this is chachma, the chachma of a skill, which is involved in malacha, which is involved in playing an instrument, it's a chachma which is the chachma component of malacha, which is that you're using, like the psukim described by building the mishkan. There's a chachma of, you call a chacham lev, who knows how to build the mishkan. So there's a certain skill of manipulating the force of nature. That's not what you're doing when you're studying, when you're involved in psukim. When you're involved in psukim, it's just the world of the abstract. And it's a different definition of chachma. Amen. I guess if you want to summarize, to pinpoint the machlokas, perhaps you'll say is like, what's the idea of malacha? What's the essence of malacha? Is malacha really using chachma to manipulate the force of nature towards a certain purpose, productivity? But really, its essence is really the chachma. But it's the Torah only asked it when you use that chachma for a certain objective. But the core of what malacha is really that idea of the malacha, is the chachma, is the skill, the manipulating the force of nature. But it's that the Torah only said malacha zavoda. It's only when you do that in a certain context that the Torah prohibited it. But the underlying reality of malacha really exists even in shofar. Just Torah didn't prohibit it. Or do you say no, that the real essence of malacha is productivity? And it's productivity via a certain method, chachma, but really the essence of malacha is productivity. And if you don't have that method, if you don't have productivity, it's very nice that you're doing that method, but that's like an accident. That's not, you're not in any way partaking of malacha, because the limud is malacha avoda, but the essence of malacha is really avoda, is really productivity. So is the limud of avoda telling you the essence of malacha is productivity, and if there's no productivity, it's nothing? Or no, it's saying, no, you're right, the essence of malacha is really the chachma. But it's only usher when it has that feature of productivity. But really, the essence is really that the essence is, it really is, chachma is correct, that's the essence of the thing. Just that Torah doesn't prohibit it without the malacha, without the productivity. You know, but if that's the case, then really blowing shofar is the component of malacha. It has the essence of malacha. Just Torah doesn't prohibit it, but then the Torah could say on Rosh Hashanah Shabbos, don't do it. Don't do the shofar through that, rather do it through the ideas themselves. Okay, so we went further. So in order to go further, we can do this Tosfos on Radiyas Hapas, on Chav Teslan Beis. But we need a little bit of background. Okay? The background is a Gemara, not much background, but there's a Gemara in Shabbos, which we did last year. Was it last year we did Shabbos?
Two years ago.
Okay, so we did 2 years ago Gemara and Shabbos about if it's a funny case, but basically it has a case where if you let's say there's an Isser D'Rabbanan of Rediyas Hapas. This was, again, forget about our sugya right now. Put it on hold and let's just talk about the case in Shabbos. There's an Isser D'Rabbanan of Rediyas Hapas, which means, simple pshat, it means is to scrape the bread off of the oven after the bread is baked. You scrape it off with a knife and you get it off. And that's Asim D'Rabbanan. Okay? The same Rediyas Hapas. It's Asim D'Rabbanan. It's a gzera. Now the Gemara has a question. Well, I have a good question. Let's say on Shabbos, on purpose, a guy takes a piece of bread, a dough, throws it onto the oven wall, sticks it on the oven wall, on purpose, b'mezid, in order to violate Shabbos. Now what happens? Now if he leaves it on the oven wall and it actually cooks, it bakes, so then the guy is going to violate the Issur D'Oraisa of baking on Shabbos. Right? It's terrible. Right? He's going to end up violating Issur D'Oraisa. He did it on purpose. Even if he did it on purpose, if it gets off beforehand, you were well intentioned to violate the Issur, but it turns out you didn't do anything. Right? You may have tried to do it, but Baman is if you get it off there before it actually bakes. So then you haven't done malacha. So the guy tries to do it, he throws it on. Now what do you do? Because if you leave it on, you're going to violate the Issur D'Oraisa of baking. If you scrape it off, you're going to violate the Issur D'Rabbanan, and you're not allowed to scrape it off. Right? So the question is, the Gemara asks there, do you have a right to violate the Issur D'Rabbanan in order to avoid the Issur D'Oraisa? Okay? That's the question. Or do you, or does someone else? Did the Rabbanan, so to speak, stand strong in their prohibition, if listening to the Rabbanan here is going to be cause you to violate a D'Oraisa. And the very role of the Rabbanan in general is to protect the D'Oraisa. So here, by keeping the D'Rabbanan Isser prohibition, it's going to cause you to violate the D'Oraisa. So do you say that it's waived, or do you say it's not waived?
He didn't put the thing in the oven on Shabbos when he gave the benefit of the
No, he did throw it on. He threw it on Shabbos in order to bake. Because he wanted to bake, he wanted bread, he wanted to bake, and he wanted to violate the Issur D'Oraisa of baking on Shabbos.
This refers to throwing it on the outside of the oven.
No, the inside of the oven.
That's
how they bake it. Throw it into the oven to bake it. He threw it in to bake. He wanted to bake. He's baking bread. This is the way you bake bread. He says, someone says, it's Shabbos. Don't you realize you can't bake on Shabbos? I don't care. Throws it onto the oven. To cook. Bakes it. He's trying to bake the bread. Now, in 5 minutes, the thing is going to be ready to eat, and he's going to violate, at the point where it gets baked, he's going to violate this D'Oraisa of baking on Shabbos. Right? They'll stone him. Okay? Now, someone comes along and says, maybe I can protect the guy. I could scrape it off before it bakes. Right? And he could, if not for the fact that the Rabbanan said you're not allowed to scrape bread off the oven. Then this is the Rabbanan of Rediyas Apas. So the Gemara wants to know, do you have a right to do it, to violate the Rabbanan in order to protect the guy from the Deoraisa? Or not?
Why would he necessarily be violating the Rabbanan?
You can't. That's the service. You have to either do it through the process of the diasapas, which is the derabanan. So this is derabanan to scrape bread off the oven, whether you have reason or you don't have reason. It's derabanan. Okay? Which is that's the fact there. I mean, that's saying there's a zero derabanan. Why, we don't know, but that's a derabanan. Just like if you, it's us the derabanan to ride a horse on Shabbos. Right, let's say you have a reason to. Whatever. It doesn't matter if you have a reason to. It's prohibited. So if it's prohibited to scrape the bread off the oven.
Okay, no.
It's actually a Zderabon. Okay? So that's the Gemara over there. Okay, so what's the punchline for getting everything out aside? Punchline Gemara over there is it's a Zderabon on the Dura Diasapas. Okay? On Shabbos. To scrape the bread off. Not an Issa Deoraisa, clearly. Right? Because if it's Deoraisa, then of course you can't do a Deoraisa. The clear fact over there is it's a Zderabon on to scrape the bread off the oven. Okay, fine. So is that in contradiction with our Gemara? Because our Gemara says, Lo sasa kol malacha, you shouldn't do malacha, to exclude blowing shofar and rediyas apas. Because those are chachma and they're not malacha. Okay, so therefore they're not prohibited on Shabbos. Is that a problem with our Gemara? No, why?
Is that just talking about Deoraisa?
Yeah, so on the surface, because that's learning it from the pasuk. So the pasuk is telling you Deoraisa. Deoraisa, you can't do malacha, but you can do rediyas apas and blowing shofar. Deoraisa. But the Gemara in Shabbos is clearly only talking to Rabbanan. That's the whole point of the Gemara. The whole point of the Gemara is you want to violate this Rabbanan to prevent the Deoraisa. It's clearly only talking about the Rabbanan. Right? So it sounds like simple. There's simply no problem. Right? You wouldn't even call it a contradiction. The answer is just so obvious. It's not even a question. Okay. But the Rebbeinu Chananel is bothered by the question.
But are you saying...
Okay. But for some reason the Rebbeinu Chananel is bothered. And basically, well, I'll show you Rebbeinu Chananel, but basically Tosas says, it's not a question. What's your big deal? There's no problem here, because this is the Deoraisa, this is the Rabbanan, it's not, right? And our job is going to be to try to understand Rebbeinu Chananel. Okay, because it's a strange position. And not only that, Rebbeinu Chananel knows this answer. I mean, you'll see, I'm pretty sure. He had two answers. One of his answers is this, and his other answer is different. Okay, let me read Rebbeinu Chananel. Okay? So it's the Gemara basically in the Shabbos, which after the Gemara proceeds to ask this question about could you do Rediyas Apas in order to prevent the guy from baking? So the Rebbeinu Chananel is on Dalet Amud Beis in Shabbos. It says Mechdi v'kashalan, but I have a kasha problem. Mechdi Rediyas Apas chachma v'ein a malacha, but the problem is that Rediyas Apas is a chachma, it's not a malacha, right? The Garcinim Perikol Kesvei. Tanan Beis Shmuel, Kamalachas Avodah Lo Sasi, Yotzitikiyas Shofar, Diasapas, Shichachum, Ein Malacha. Right? The Zohar Gemara openly says that it excludes Diasapas because it's not a Malacha, it's Chachma. The Kiyuan Shein a Malacha, since it's not a Malacha or a Diasapas, Amai Lo Pashti, Vala Deva. So of course you should be allowed to scrape it off the oven to prevent the guy from violating the Deraisa. Because what's wrong with doing a Diasapas altogether? The Gemara says it's not a Chachma, it's not a Malacha, it's a Chachma. Right? Which is altogether, yeah, but it's just Rabbanan style, right? And that's the problem. But it's this question. Since you see it's a chachma and it's not a malacha, so why can't you just scrape it off the oven? What's the problem? It's a chachma, it's not a malacha. So he says, the kabamu yaraseinu ki bayazu lahatilo v'kater umutaru. From the Rabbeinu, he says, In the Gemara on Shabbos, this is an answer he heard from his rabbis. In the Gemara on Shabbos, it wants to allow him to do it, that it will be, not only that he'll be potter, that he won't be it's over in Issa Deoraisa, he won't violate a Deoraisa, but that it will be permitted. It will be permitted. It wants to know, is it permitted to do? The Thika, therefore, that's a question already. True, I already know that the guy's not going to violate this or Deoraisa, he's not going to be chayiv, but maybe it's going to be benom, but maybe it'll be prohibited because it's a derabanan. Okay, maybe it'll be prohibited because it's a derabanan. So that's what the Gemara in Shabbos wants to know. But of course, it's not a malacha, and you're not going to violate, you're not going to be chayiv anything, it's just a derabanan. Okay, so that's a simple answer. Simple answer is that again, is that. That when we're saying it's a chas, not a malacha, means it's not a deraisa. But it still is Isser Darabanan. So the Gemara in Shabbos is asking, could you violate the Isser Darabanan in order to cause the guy, prevent the guy from cooking on, baking on Shabbos? Simple, right? There's nothing difficult. It's simple. So that's his first answer. The Yesh Omrim, but others want to say, to answer this problem, that the scraping off of the baked bread after it is baked, that's what the Gemara is talking about when it says that it's a chachma and it's not a malacha. It's talking about after it is already fully baked, scraping it off the oven, that's a chachma and it's not a malacha. And that's what this is permitted. But the scraping it off while it is still dough, before it fully gets like I don't know, some sort of the outside of it gets like something, some sort of crust or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but malachli, that is malacha. That is, in other words, there are two kinds of rediyasapas before it's fully baked and after it's fully baked. The one before, after it's baked, that's what's chachmah and malacha. But the one that's when it's the one that's before it's baked, that's malacha. Okay. The question is, does he mean malacha deoraisa? Because that's not going to help really. Because the Gemara there is right. I don't think he means that. I think he means derabanan. Halotira, I'll show you. Hapasa afuya the bread after it's already baked. Efshel leredos abasakin ukiotziba. You can actually use a knife and scrape it off. Aval ha'isa he efshel leradosa ela biyadayim. The only way to do it when before it's baked is using your hands. Okay, shenimsa kimolash ve'orech. It's like you're doing lishas, like you're kneading the dough and like setting it in place. And the sakin, that's actually helping the bread. L'fika chos kiyur makamaza ha'gizan ve'yishma. Klal alami ki ina domizel zeklal. So he says, he's talking about the different stages, that in order to get it off, and you can imagine this, if it's already baked, so you just take a knife and get it like a good angle, right, and it's just like get under the bread somehow, right, you're going to have to get a good angle there, maybe the right speed to break the friction, the tension, whatever, right? So you can imagine, it's like a chachma to get the knife right under there, like, you know, as you can imagine if you have cookies on, like, on a cookie sheet. So if you have like a good spatula or something like that, and you like, I'm sure good bakers, they have that big metal thing, the big metal spatula, and they get it at the right angle, and they quickly get it under it, and you're like, right, it's like flipping an egg, you know? If you do it well, at the right time, if you try to do it, once it's at the right point, you can get it up on the spatula. If you know what you're doing. If you know what you're doing, you're going to mess it up. You're going to cut the egg in half. So that's why it's a chachma. It's a skill. But if you try to do it too early, if you try to get the cookies with that spatula before it's done, it's not happening. Spatula is gonna mess it all up. You could do it with your hands, because your hands, I guess, you have more manipulability with your hands. So the bread, when the bread is on the wall of the oven before it bakes, which is the case over there, because you want to get it before the guy violates the sort of baking. So you could use your hands and like shape it in a way where you like move it and hold it and shape it and whatever it is to like kind of wiggle it off of the oven, you know, before it gets to bake. But that you can only do with your hands. And that process is like a process where you're really like fixing the bread. So he says that really partakes of a malacha, because it's like kneading the bread. It's like you're kneading it, you're putting it in like you're setting it off. So that I think he has to say, even though he says malacha, I think he has to mean that's a drabanan. That's what the Gemara there is saying is this drabanan. To try to get it off with your hands before the thing, that's a productive thing, and it actually enhances the bread. Because the bread's going to get messed up when you pull it off, and you're going to have to kind of shape it well. So that's an Isser Darabanan. That's like you're fixing the bread. But that's what the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about. Before it bakes. And that's why the Gemara in Shabbos never brings up this whole thing about it's a chachma and it's not a malacha. Because that really is malacha. That partakes of malacha. That's chachma means it's not productive. There's no product. It's already bread. You're just simply separating it. But this is a product. You're actually fixing the bread. So you can't bring up chachma v'ena malacha. That really partakes of malacha. You're actually enhancing the bread. So therefore, he says the Gemara's are talking about two different things. Two different things, and there's no question altogether. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos is talking about the Rediyas HaPas, even though they're both called Rediyas HaPas, the Gemara in Shabbos is talking about the one before it bakes, which is malacha, or the Rabbanan, and the one which is after which it's baked, which is only a chachma, and it's not a malacha. It's not a melacha. And therefore, there's no problem altogether. Okay, that's a minhag analysis. A little bit of a force.
Yeah,
right. So, I mean, that's true. Yehuda says that it sounds a little bit forced to say there are two kinds of Adiyas Habas. I mean, he is kind of trying to justify it by saying, if you think about it, you realize that it's true. That you see, one of them is easy, one of them is hard, you know. But he is wiggling. I mean, he's making stuff up here. I mean, the Gemara just says Adiyas Habas. It doesn't say there's two times Adiyas Habas. It happens to be one of them is before it bakes, one is after it bakes, but he's making up these facts, which it's not clear. I mean, you could certainly argue that even before it bakes is the same process, and the fact that that's a derabanan because it's like you're needing it, I mean, that's a chiddush. It's a new idea, which isn't based anywhere. But the Rav Chanan is kind of forcing it in, presumably to answer a question. And that's kind of going to be Tosas' problem, is what is bothering Rav Chanan? Why does he have to do this? What's forcing him to do it? Because he's making up a new idea, a whole new case, saying there are two kinds of ideas of apostle, one of them is chachma. What do you need to do the whole thing? The answer is very simple. There's one ideas of apostle. When it says the Chokhmah Meir Malacha, it means it's not a Deoraisa, but it's a Durabanan. And the Gemara Shabbos is talking about the Issa Durabanan. You're not allowed to do what you're supposed to do. It's a Durabanan. So that's why Tosas comments, he says, the way he calls it is, by the way, Tosas says Ke'en Lash, like kneading. Okay, so that Tosas interprets that Meir Chanal. Because you can't mean that it's actually kneading, it's actually Deoraisa. That's not going to help you over there. The Gemara there is saying it's a Durabanan. So it's like kneading. He says, but he basically says, ubechinam dachak. He says, and for naught he pushed. He's pushing. He's forcing an answer, and for naught. There's no reason. Why did he have to do that? Why do we have to do that? It's simple. Because the Gemara over here is only saying it's Matam and HaTorah. Right? But it's not talking about the Raisa. It says Darabana. And he proves it. He says that Shofar also is also Darabana. Shofar is also Darabana. And he proves that also. There's another Gemara that says, Shofar's also the Rabbanan, because maybe you're going to come to carry it. So this Gemara is showing that when the Gemara says that Shofar and Ridiyas Hapas are mutter, Achach and Amalacha, it's not saying that they're mutter, they're permitted 100%, it's just saying that they're not Amalacha, they're not Deoraisa. It's learning from the Pasuk, it's not saying that they're permitted. So he's saying, what's Rabbeinu Chananel getting so upset about that he has to change and make up these two kinds of Ridiyas Hapas? What's the purpose of it? Who needs it? And in fact, it's not like Rabbi Chananel missed this point, because this was, it seems to me, I mean, it's not that very clear language, but it seems to me this is Rabbi Chananel's first answer in the name of his rabbis. So he knew the answer, he knew he'd give this answer. It's not like, it's too obvious anyways, I mean, you can't miss it. But you just feel like, what's Rabbi Chananel, what's he bothered by? That's the question. What is Rabbi Chananel bothered by? Why does he have to say, How could we defend Rabbeinu Chananel against Tosas' problem? What's bothering him? It's a difficult question. So you could have tried to answer. I mean, I don't know if that's an answer, but you could try to say, no. I mean, it comes up to not answering, it's pushing aside the question. Is that Rabbeinu Chananel is not saying it because of this, he just happens to say, if you study the process of Ideas Hapas, there are two different times, and one of the times it's really only a chachma, and the other time it's really a malacha. It's like lash, it's like kneading, and therefore that's why he's saying it. He's not saying it because of this. He knows that you can take those as an answer, but he's just saying if you honestly investigate the process, then you'll see that they're really two different things. Right? Well, that's a part of the problem. Is you have to assume that, and first of all, it's all right. He's just making that up, and what, you know, then what's Tosas bothered by? It's just good facts. That's simple, right? And also, that's not how he's presenting it. He's not presenting it that, oh yeah, by the way, I have an idea, a new idea that there are two types of Ideas Hapas. He presents it, he has a problem. There's a problem here, a contradiction between the Gemaras, and he's answering it according to his answer. It's not like he's saying it, like on his own, saying this is just what makes sense. It's an answer. So that's what Tosas is. Why is he forced to answer this? He's forcing an answer where there's no need to force an answer. There's a simple explanation. So it just seems like from Rabbeinu Chananel that even though he holds it makes sense, but he wouldn't have said it without something which pushed him to say it. And that's why Tosas is picking up on. And he's saying, well, what's pushing him to say it? Tosas realizes from the way that Rabbeinu Chananel reads that there's something pushing him to say it. He's not just saying it on his own. By the way, it turns out that it would seem to me that I think it's true that there's a halachic practical maskamina between Rav and Tosfos. Because according to Tosfos, there's only one kind of Adiyas Abbas, which is, I don't care when you're doing it, and that's in the Siddur Rabbanan. No matter when you do it, before or after. But the Torah of Rav Chanan, there are two kinds of Adiyas Abbas. Before is in the Siddur Rabbanan. After it's fully baked, it's mutter. 100% permitted. It's a chachma, it's not a malach, it's 100% mutter. Right, that's what he's saying. So, if you ever, next time you have an oven, and you have the bread, which is fully baked on the side of the oven, if you want a heter, you really need a heter, maybe you can rely on a Rav Chanan. If it ever comes up, ask your local or my traveler, but saying, okay, so let me, I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that perhaps Rav Nachman is a confirmation of the way we've been learning this Gemara. Okay? We've been learning this Gemara, in line with the way we've been learning. Okay? Which is as follows. See, you have to wonder, why is it that Rav Nachman is awesome? What's the, and this is, by the way, when we did this, it's not so simple. Rabbanan, do a spot on the Rabbanan, right? Why? And this is, I guess, what you do with it. What's wrong with the spots? Bread is ready, you're just scraping it off the oven. What's wrong with scraping it off? What possibly is the problem? Not so clear. Okay? The Rambam happens to hold, I'm not going to say that, the Rambam happens to hold, I don't think they're holding like this, but the Rambam happens to hold, it's like what Yudah was saying, I guess, is that since it's part of the baking process, the last stage, not actually baking, but since it's like the baker usually does it, so if you do that, then you're going to end up baking. It's like maybe next time someone's going to have a baking like that. Yeah, that's the Rambam. But it's hard, I mean, that's what I'm learning, but it's like, you know, it seems like they don't learn that way. The simpler way to learn, and this is, I think, the way a lot of people say, like Shofar also is Rabbanan. Shofar and Judith Spas is Rabbanan. It's simple, and this is what I want to say, this is the way the Rav Chanan is learning, and perhaps, or this is the way the Rav Chanan could have been learning, but this question is based on, and I think Tosfos and Rashi also learn this way. The reason why it's Asur is because it's Chach. Why is it Asur Rabbanan? Because it's a chachma. Okay, because since chachma is a component of malacha, so true, the Torah never asked a chachma when it doesn't have the productivity. We don't have both components together. But the Rabbanan said, wait a second, since this is the underlying component of malacha, namely chachma, okay, therefore, the Rabbanan asked them. Okay, they didn't want to leave it like that. That even though the Torah did it, the Torah said that even though the essence of Malacha is where you're using your mind to manipulate it towards nature. But, the Torah said, unless that results in an end product, it's okay. Not awesome. But the Rabbanan says, that's awesome. That alone, that already is domet to Malacha. It partakes of the underlying essence of the Deraisa. It's just the Torah didn't prohibit it. The Rabbanan said it, that that's already part of it will lead to the violation of the Deraisa. It's too silly. It really is. It partakes of the Deraisa. They asur at one component. Okay, the Torah only asur. You have both components. The Rabbanan asur even when you have the underlying essential component, even without the productivity. Okay, which kind of makes sense. And that's why if you look at Rashi, I think Rashi says, "Why is Shofar asur? Because it's Chachma." He says that. I mean, he quotes that because it's Chachma Ve'Malach. That's why it's the Rabban. That's the Rabban, the Rabban Master. If you learn like that, then Rabbeinu Chananel says, wait a second. Isn't that Rabbi Chama's Svara? The Gemara Paschim is like, Rabbi. And this is his question. Is that it's Rabbeinu Chananel claiming learns the Machlokas exactly like we're learning. Machlokas is why is Rabbi Yisapach not a Deraisa? Is it saying that the essence of Malacha, or the essence of Malacha really is Chachma? But the Torah only answered it when there is productivity. Okay? And therefore, since the Shofar really partakes of the essence of Malacha, and therefore the Torah could sing loud, Zifron Truah, on Shabbos, it's recognized on Shabbos. Whereas Rava held, no, 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 really, Malacha is productivity. And without productivity, Chachma alone is nothing. It's nothing. Here's an Avamina there or something, but really Malacha is productivity. Productivity, without productivity, Chachma alone is zero. And therefore, since it's zero, Rava says, how could the Torah single out Blowing Shofar on Shabbos? Blowing Shofar on Shabbos is like walking down the street on Shabbos. Chachma alone is nothing. That's what Rava says, and therefore, Rava rejects the whole thing. You can't single out. Really, the Blowing Shofar on Shabbos is no different. Shabbos is no different than any other activity on Shabbos. It's a regular Chachma is just a Havamina. There's no bottom line is the Torah is more rejected that. From Allah Malachas Avoda teaches you that without the productivity component, it's nothing. That's his question. And who do we paskin like? We paskin like Rava. That really it is nothing. That Malacha without the Chachma without Malacha, Chachma without the productivity is nothing, Allah. So if that's the case, how could the Rabbanan then come along and say, oh, it's also the Rabbanan because it's a Chachmah? Yeah, according to Rabbi Chama, I could have seen that the Rabbanan could do that. Because according to Rabbi Chama, he holds that Chachmah is really the underlying core of Malacha, and therefore it's good to say the Rabbanan said that underlying core is also the Rabbanan. But according to Rava, whose whole platform of his question and the way we hold is that Chachmah is just the Avamina, and really Chachmah has nothing to do with Malacha. Malacha is only productivity. And baking bread as the pasta or shofar is not productivity at all. Someone the Torah could have never even singled it out. It's not halakhically recognized. So then how does our bottom come along and say, no, the pasta is also because it's chachma. Chachma is not anything. That's what the Havamina. There's no malacha. The Gemara's conclusion is that it's chachma vein malacha. It means malacha is malacha. Chachma is a different category. It has nothing to do with it. So therefore, so that's still this Rehan's pakasha. Is that how is it? What? Yeah, he's going by rejecting the Rabbanan. Only makes sense if we held like a Rabbi Chama. But we don't hold like Rabbi Chama. We hold like Rava. Rava holds that Chachma and Malacha means that it's zero. That the Chachma alone is nothing. So how the Rabbanan then say that's also the Rabbanan because it partakes of Malacha? It doesn't partake of Malacha. That was rejected. That was Rabbi Chama's position. So therefore, Rabbi Nachman, because of that kasha, says you're right. It can't be that the Rabbanan is on the Chachma. Because that's what Rava's whole point is, that Chachma is nothing. So therefore it must be the Chachma is 100% permitted. And that's the Chachma of doing the bread after it bakes. And when we're talking about it's Darabanan, that's a different thing. That's not the Chachma, that's the before, that's similar to kneading. Whole different thing, you have to say that, because Chachma, the Gemara, we all like Rava, Chachma is out the window, nothing to do with that. Why is Rediyas Pas possibly also? It must be it's a different Rediyas Pas, which is before before it bakes, which is similar to kneading. And that's why he's forcing us to say that. Totally different thing. Apparently he didn't buy the Rambam's thing that it's afterwards and it's because it will come to baking. I mean, he didn't go for that. He held that the simple way to understand the Rambam, if it's the one after, it can't be anything wrong with the need with the response after baking. The only thing you could have said is because of Chachma. If you feel like Rava, you couldn't have said that. Therefore, how could that possibly be also the Rambam? Must be it's a different Rediyas Pas. That's what he's forced. What Tosus holds is a good question. Okay, so the question, I'm not sure what Tosus holds. I mean, you could say Tosus holds that he says it's not also because of Chachma. The reason why it's also is because like the Rambam might say, something like that, nothing to do with Chachma. You say it is, it's just the Rabbana, you could just disagree with that premise. You could learn like the Rambam, but the reason why there's a path is really one of there's a path. It's also afterwards, because of maybe you'll come to baking, then the Chachma. This will be all like Rabbi, you're right, Chachma is nothing. But it's not also because of Chachma. It's also because of a different reason. So that's one easy answer. You could also say, I mean, I think I saw Tosis and I said it's because of Chachma. I mean, you could say a different answer than Tosis. But you could say, oh, it really is because of Chachma, but not because, even if Chachma doesn't actually partake of baking, of Malacha, even if it's not a component of Malacha, to a layman, it may become confused with Malacha. Even though halakhically the Araya says nothing. But that doesn't mean a layman wouldn't make a mistake and think Chachma is like Malacha. And if he does Chachma, life is doing Malacha. So it's like, the question is, could the Rabbanan answer something based on that? If the Araya says Chachma and Malacha are totally different things, and it separates them out, and it's, excludes it, but then you have some layman may make that mistake, could the Rabbanan answer that? Because it will lead to that. Or you say, no, that's already, we're not on hold, that's Look, the Torah always separated those two categories, and it has nothing to do with it. One can then say, no, fuck one, maybe a person didn't think that. No, they're different categories. The Tosafos maybe is holding that, even though that halachically they're totally separable, but since a person may come to the, may end up coming to that, or may make that mistake, they're one of the Torahs. And something along those lines. And they have to, I'm not sure how to go further than that. But that would be if you want to say Tosafos agrees that if you ask for because of that. But you don't have to say that. You could say, like maybe you say Rashi, it sounds like he said that. It could be that's why. Because a person will make a mistake. But if we're good on this, then I'd like to do next is moving along. Okay, basically, this is like moving on day. Okay, if we're done with this, then we get to go, not moving that much, but turning to Rava, who learns the Gedera of the Rava. Okay, which is Rava doesn't hold by this whole thing. He rejects it altogether. He says, forget it. You can't differentiate between Shabbos and Nachol. You can't have this Yom Teruah as a Chum Teruah. There's other problem of Mikdash. So he says the Oraisa, really the mitzvah is always the blow shofar. And it's separate the Rabbanon, Gzeira the Rabbanon, maybe you'll carry. So just to define that the Rabbanon. Something sounds funny about the Rabbanon. And I guess it's a good question. Someone asked. Is that you asked? That what does he do with the Yom Zephah? What does he do? It's a dark kind of question, but maybe he could,
Can we say anything about that?
And yeah, okay. So we're also going to do. I don't know if we'll get to tomorrow, but Tosa Shema Yilano, yeah, Yilano. Okay, that's Tosas on that. And there's a Rashi. He quotes a Rashi in Sukkah, which he doesn't like, but we should look at the Rashi in Sukkah also. So we got to work that out for us. Now, so moving on to this to the Drabban. Gzeira Drabba. It's famous. Gzeira Drabba is famous. Okay, I mean, big time. So we'll get into it. And there's a lot of different stuff on this. So we have to decide where we're going to go. Hopefully, I think we'll probably come back to this Darabanan. The Shofar's Darabanan, this Malach, Malach, maybe we'll come back to it later. But we'll see. Okay?